Really excited to speak to you guys. I have the privilege of wrapping up this boundary series that we've been in. We knew we had to save the best for last, so here I am. I'm just kidding. But this has been such an awesome series, and it's funny. You would think that Ed and I would be at the point where the things that we teach are things that like we've already come full circle with and like already know, but this is literally a series that we both, every single message, have been just personally challenged as we've been talking through it and building it. And so I'm so thankful that we were able to go through a series like this, because can I just be real and say, like, no matter where you're at in life, whether you've just graduated high school or you're in college or you're in a career, learning to have good boundaries will literally save you from so many bad decisions in your life. And boundaries are literally at the foundation of our ability to make wise decisions. And I don't know if we can pop our graphic up there. If you just unhit logo, I think it'll go up. But I love our like subtitle of this series of what's good versus what's right. And that's kind of what I want to get back to our original thought tonight as we wrap all this up. And so if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, because it makes the speaker feel good, and it's all about me, so take notes. But you can title this message, Finding Your Best Yes. Finding Your Best Yes. Pardon me as I quench my thirst. But, you know, a lot of us, when we're thinking about the idea of making decisions, we think there's kind of two choices. There's either a yes or a no. And sometimes we get so caught up in either deciding yes or no that we miss the idea or the realization that there's actually another choice, which is this concept of your best yes. And that's what I want to kind of define for us tonight and give you some tools of how to find your best yes. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll jump into that. But God, I just thank you so much for every single one of these young adults in this room tonight. God, I thank you for where they are uniquely at, God, for the story that you have written for them. God, and just the ability that they have to be a part of that process with you, God, that it's not just dependent on their circumstances, God, that they get to choose and make decisions right alongside of you as far as what their future looks like and the things that you're calling them to do, God. And so I pray that every single person would walk away with just a little just nugget from you tonight, God, and would help them along this journey of this whole boundary conversation, God. In your name, amen. So I have a confession to make, and Ed can attest to this, but I am literally probably the most indecisive shopper you'll ever meet in your entire life. When I go shopping, I like to, this drives Ed literally nuts. He just walked into the closet because he doesn't want to be embarrassed by this story. But when we go shopping, Ed really loves to walk and do a specific route through the mall. And it's like he like knows where we need to park and which mall entrance we're going to walk into, which store we walk through first, which aisle we go down first, then the next destination comes after that. And it's like there's no like diverting from this order, okay? It's like, no, this is where we start, and this is where we will end. And these are the points that we will hit along the way. And if you deviate from this plan, then, like, sorry, you're out. I'm leaving you behind. And so a lot of the time, guess what happens? I get left behind because I deviate from the route. Because when I go shopping, I like to have the ability to walk into a store and kind of, like, take account of my options in front of me, right? And I like to like walk through the different sections and just kind of see, what does the store have to offer me? Do they have things that are cute? Do they have what I'm looking for? Do they have things that I didn't know I was looking for? Like, maybe they'll surprise me. And Ed is just not that way whatsoever. Some of the difference between girls and guys, right? But holler at me if you're that kind of shopper. Like, you like to take your time. You want to browse. I am all about the best deal possible, okay? Ed will go in and be like, yeah, that's the thing I want. I'm willing to pay that. He'll buy it, walk out. I'm like, shoot, I think I just saw a sale sign. like down the way for, they probably have the same thing that I'm looking for. I'm gonna put this item on hold here because I know that they have it. And then I'll walk down to that store and see if I can get a better deal on it. And if they don't have it, I'll come back here and buy it because I know I want it. Right? Like any of you like that with me? You know my heart. Okay? So the problem with this is it usually requires a lot of time on our hands to walk through the mall and check everything out. And sometimes I have to just kind of like squelch this desire in me to take my time, and I have to just be okay with like going on this pre-plotted route. But most of the time, I try and just take my time. And what happens is I'll usually find like I'll have like a budget walking into it because I'm that nerd that goes into the mall and I know exactly what I'm allowed to spend. Just make fun of me later, okay? But I'll like find three or four things that I really want. And if they're like outside of my budget, I do this little game of like, hey, babe, look at this. Do you think this is cuter or this is cuter? Or do you think like this is cooler and I'll get more uses out of it? And, you know, which is a better option? And I, not only do I spend time looking for things in the store, but then I spend time trying to decide which of these items that I love I'm actually going to buy. It's just, talking about it is making me exhausted. So I'm really, really sorry for doing this to you all the time. But you married me, so you're stuck with me. So, no, but I really am just the most indecisive person. It drove my mom crazy growing up. And I've realized that I sometimes have this tendency in my just normal life. And when it comes to making decisions and choosing the right path, I often can get up in my head about like, man, I don't want to make the wrong decision. I'm an only kid. And so I have this complex all growing up, and I still have it to this day, where I don't like to be left out. Like, growing up as an only kid, sometimes it's just a lonely experience, okay? I'm just going to be real, okay? So now I'm like, man, something fun's going on. I want to be with those people. Like, I don't want to be left over here alone, you know? So I get caught in this just place where I have a hard time choosing and making the wrong decision because I'm afraid I'm going to miss out on something, or I'm going to miss God's call for my life in that season. Or if I choose to take this job over this job, then my entire path to the rest of my future has deviated, and now I'm going to fall off a cliff when I reach 30. Like, just these dumb trains of thoughts, right? Tell me I'm not alone. Raise your hand if you've ever been there. Okay, not preaching to just myself tonight. So, that being said, this concept, as I've been kind of just learning this, and we've talked about some different things in our series, have really, really challenged me in this area, because this is my tendency, and I've come to recognize this tendency in me, and it's healthy. That's why I love, again, that we've done this series, because it's really healthy for us to understand what our tendencies are and what that usually causes us to do in regards to our decisions, okay? So some things that have really just stuck out to me in this series that I want to kind of recap with you tonight real quick. So first thing in this process of finding your best yes, know your why. Why is it that the things that are important to you are important? Are they important because someone told you that they are important or should be important? Or are they important to you because you know in your heart that that's your number one priority? Tracking with me? Is everybody alive? I know the weather's kind of dingy today, but we're here. God is good. Amen. I just got real churchy. That was weird. Okay, I'm moving on. Going to Jen's. Okay, so know your why. Number two, that Ed has talked about this several times, of just being aware of the people that we spend our time around. Okay, so go where wisdom gathers. Go where wisdom gathers. Do the people in your inner circle that you spend the most time with, whether it's family or friends or whoever that is, do they cause you to want to grow? Do they challenge you to be better? Not just like a superficial challenge. I'm gonna pause here for a second, okay? Because some of us, and I have done this before, so I'm saying us, like to put ourselves around people, advertently or inadvertently, whatever, that quote unquote challenge us to be better. But really it's just this like surface, like just on the surface level challenge. I'm talking about being around people that when you're in their presence, you literally are so overcome by their life and the success that they're seeing and the way that they lead their family or the way that they operate in their job or their level of integrity or honesty, those things that literally causes this uncomfortable feeling in your chest of like, man, I suck. And I need to improve in so many areas because holy cow, if I could just be like this person when I'm 30, like if I could be that cool and that smart and that rich when I'm 30, holy cow, I've made it, right? Put yourself around those kind of people. Not to compare, I'm not saying to compare yourself and feel like you suck because you don't, but put yourself around people that are going to challenge you without even realizing it to make you better. It's that whole process of iron sharpening iron, and make sure that you're intentional with that, okay? So kind of those two things to start, just build this foundation of know your why and go where wisdom gathers. Does your lifestyle gather wisdom or does it cause wisdom to scatter? Does it push wisdom away, okay? So kind of this thought of your best yes, that idea of best yes is at the end of the day, what that means is the thing that only you uniquely can do. There's a lot of things that seem good that come up in our path, but what is that thing that God has specifically called you to do? Maybe he's asking you to do, whether it's a small thing in your day or a big thing in the scheme of your future, okay? It's something that only you can do. That's an idea what the best yes is. So I want to talk just for a few more minutes about two tools of how to find your best yes, okay? So number one, check your approach. Check your approach. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. If you have a device on your phone and you look that up, or if you've got a like real old school Bible, you can flip there. But Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I know I didn't give you the two main scriptures like Ed does every week right when I came up here, but sorry, you can take time to flip it to now. That's his style. Philippians 1. I'm going to read this. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. I'm going to read this again, and I want you to underline three specific words, okay? It says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge. Underline that word, knowledge. If it's not in your translation, just underline whatever word it says. This is NIV I'm reading of. So underline that word, knowledge, and depth of insight. Underline that word, insight. So that you may be able to discern, underline that word, discern, what is best. It may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So underline knowledge, insight, and discern. The reason I want us to focus on those three words for a second, because this scripture literally lays out for us what we need in order to determine what is best. You could underline what is best too in that scripture if you want. So first, knowledge. I think we all pretty have a good idea of what knowledge is, but knowledge is facts, skills, things that we have learned either by experience or some form of education, right? We read a book, we sat through a class, blah, 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 that has given us knowledge, okay? Insight. Insight is what comes from taking our knowledge and applying it, and it's the experience that we gain. We gain insight from living out the knowledge and the things that we've learned. Make sense? You tracking with me? Is this too deep for you guys tonight? We good? Okay, holla at me. I like to hear from you. So if you think something's good, say like, oh yeah, that's good, or drive that bus, or amen, or whatever you want to say, okay? So we need knowledge, right? Say knowledge. We need insight. Boom. Third one, we need discernment, okay? You can say discernment if you like. I love it. So discernment is the third thing we need, and discernment is the ability to use the things that we've learned and the insight from the experiences we've had to determine or to see what something really is when our judgment is clouded. So discernment is what ties those two things together. Discernment allows us to see what really is true and what something really is, even when our judgment is clouding our perspective. Tracking with me? Okay. So we need these three things. Now I want to talk kind of, some of us hear that word discernment and we kind of tie it to the same idea as intuition. You know, we hear that phrase like a woman's intuition. It's like, shows you everything. I think that's true in some degree, but women need men because we need balance in our lives. So it takes two to tango. Don't just think because you're a girl doesn't mean you know everything. Okay. I'm getting off that. All the guys in there are like, preach it. Okay, so I'm moving on. Intuition and discernment, those are two different things, okay? Sometimes we can take this idea of intuition or that gut feeling, you know, we all hear that term, like, man, I just feel in my gut that this is right. Have you ever heard like a friend say to you, like, man, I just know in my gut that she's the one? Do you? Do you really? Maybe not. Okay, so intuition and discernment, two very different things, okay? A gut response is very different than a peaceful knowing in your soul of what is right, okay? Now, sometimes a gut response or a gut feeling will lead you to the right decision, but a gut feeling always, please write this down, a gut feeling always has to be compared with truth. Facts-based in truth, okay? Gut feeling must be checked through truth-based knowledge and insight first, okay? You cannot make a decision just based off a gut feeling. Let me tell you the difference, okay? Say, you know, go back to the idea of relationship. You have a gut feeling that this is the right person for you to be with because in the moment it feels real good. But then down the road you realize, oh, this person has different life aspirations or believe different things or whatever that is. And you quickly realize, man, if I had just taken a little bit more time to get to know this person and really see who they are and what they're about, I could have used my discernment to see that they weren't the right person for me to be with. And I could have saved myself from a lot of heartache. Okay. So sometimes a gut feeling more than often is based in emotion versus based in fact. Okay, so in light of needing these three things that verse in Philippians, knowledge, we need knowledge, say knowledge, insight, and discernment, right? We need these three things. So these are questions you need to ask in relation to these things. So in the idea of knowledge, ask yourself, have I been reading and praying through God's word lately? Have I been seeking out his knowledge already laid out in this book for me? This book was written thousands and thousands of years ago, and it has more knowledge in it than we could ever know what to do with. Okay, are we actively seeking this knowledge? Second question. In relation to insight, okay, have you been applying the knowledge that you learn in this word, this book, to your everyday life? Are you just reading things in your devotions in the morning and saying, oh, great, I read chapter 2 of John today, like, check that off my list, and then you don't apply any of the things that you're reading? Or do you come to church on Sundays or Thursdays and hear all these things, but you never take the time to actually apply it to your everyday life? Okay, that's how you gain insight. So take the things that you learn and ask yourself, am I applying God's word to my everyday life? Okay, because that will bring insight. Third thing, have you sought wise counsel and insight from the people who know specifics about your situation? That will bring discernment. Okay, have you taken the knowledge that you're pursued in the Bible that's laid out for you, taken the knowledge, you've applied it to your life and are gaining insight? And then that third piece, that discernment, are you going to people who are natural filters for you that are in your life, whether it's parents, pastors, friends that know you really well, that know details about the thing that you're trying to make a decision on, okay, whether it's new job, or go back to school, or get in a relationship, whatever that is, are you going to those people to help you find discernment? Does that make sense? Do those connections between, those are really important keys for us to grab a hold of in this process of finding our best yes, okay? So that's kind of part A of this, of check your approach, is go to God's words first, okay? I heard this quote and it really challenged me, but it said that wisdom makes decisions today that will still be good tomorrow. Wisdom makes decisions today that will still be good tomorrow. Okay? So the second part to this is, even if a decision could be lined up with God's word, and the answer to those three questions that I just laid out for you could be yes, you know, it lines up with God's word. We've been applying to that, applying our knowledge to that thing in our life lately, and we've asked people and they're on board. It could, all those things could line up. But there's a second piece to this, and I want us to grab this tonight, is we need to know that God's word plus our approach is working together, okay? Because we could have a decision that lines up with God's word, and it could be a good thing, but if our approach to it doesn't line up, then it's not the right thing. You tracking with me? Let me unfold this a little bit for you, okay? A good approach requires the necessary resources to handle the demands of that decision. Okay, so I know this is kind of like, whew, for some of us tonight, because we've had a long day, whatnot. So I'm going to break this down a little bit, okay? You could be evaluating a decision through the lens of God's word, and everything in Scripture could be telling you, yeah, this is fine. There's nothing wrong with this decision. But if where you're at currently in life and the resources that you have available to you, whether it be, you know, where you're at physically, maybe you still live at home, maybe you're on your own, where you're at financially, whatever your resources are, they better line up with what comes with this decision. Otherwise, it's going to fall apart. Are you tracking with me? Okay. God's word could say, yeah, it's fine for you to take that new job or go back to school. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing biblically that stands against you choosing to go back to school. But if you're still living in your parents' house and you're not financially responsible and you're going to end up with a pile of student debt at the end of that, guess what? Your resources aren't big enough to handle that decision. Make sense? Okay? So I want you to write down this equation. Sounds funny, but I'm giving you an equation to write down. It's not math. Don't worry. God's word, right? God's word plus my approach or my resources equals my best yes. Okay? So in the big picture of things, this is the formula that we want to filter decisions through, okay? Does God's word line up with it, teamed with the resources I have at hand? Because that is what brings a best yes, okay? Kind of to determine some of these things, good filters. So like I said, if you... maybe you're feeling like you have this new job offer, or you want to go back to school, or whatever that big decision might be for you. Ask yourself, how does this decision, if I say yes to this, how will this affect me physically? Okay? How will this affect me financially? Write these things down. First one, physically. Second one, financially. How will this affect me spiritually? So in my ability to go to church, in my ability to be around good community, in my ability to get up early enough to be in my Bible, like seeking. So physically, financially, spiritually. And last one, how would this affect me emotionally? Okay, so these are kind of your four filters of this. Let me kind of give you a personal example of this for me. So recently, I've been kind of working on and off for the church over the years, and I had like a part-time office admin position before. And then recently I was presented with an offer to go full-time and be the events and services coordinator. And so it's really an official title. Okay. This job has never existed before in our church. Our church has grown like double the size in the last 3 years. We're at a place physically with our church that we couldn't manage our calendar with our current system, and we really needed someone to just come in and kind of be the point person on everything, all the events that are happening in our church and the different ministries, because there's literally like so many of them. So I was presented with this job offer, and I remember at the time when Pastor Steve approached me about it, just being really transparent with you, I was really apprehensive about it. Because I've been praying, you know, Ed and I both knew, even like when we first started, before we started dating, both of us knew independently that we felt called to ministry long term, felt called to work with the church. Didn't know exactly what that looked like, but just knew that was what was ahead for us. And so we both talked about that when we first started dating, like, okay, we're on the same page with this. But to be honest, when I have prayed over the years about what my involvement in ministry would look like, it did not fit this picture of being an events coordinator. Okay. Just being honest with you. I've kind of done that line of work before and am like pretty good at it. I can make it happen, but I'm not like in love with it. So when he approached me with this job offer, I was like, okay, I need to think about it. And I told him, hey, I need a couple days to kind of talk through this with Ed. I need to pray about it. And, you know, I'll let you know in a couple days if I can take this. And I, like I said, being honest, I like really struggled for a couple days. Like I lost sleep. I was like, God, I don't know if I want to jump into this. This is a big commitment, working full time as well as this other job that I wanted to keep doing to make extra money. And I just really struggled. And I came across this information, this book that I've been reading. It really challenged me. And they talked about these filters. And I started thinking, okay, how will this affect me physically? Well, physically, it doesn't require me to move. Like, it's not that big of a change to my current schedule as far as like when I'm getting up, blah, blah, blah. There's a place for my dog to go. Like, you know, thinking through all the physical aspects of this change. Okay. Second thing, financially, how will this affect me? Well, it'll affect me positively because I'll be working more full time and make more money, and we can dedicate more money to, you know, paying off the things we want to pay for and saving for the things, like, it will benefit us. Cool. Third thing, spiritually, how will this affect me? Well, I'll be at church. I'll be around more good people. Like, I'll be more available to be a part of, you know, ministry things that are happening, or get to meet with people because my schedule's more flexible because I work at the church. Like, all benefits, you know? And then emotionally, how will this affect me emotionally? And that's kind of where I like really battled and had to pray a lot about it, because I was like, God, I don't know if I can handle the emotional stress and weight that comes with being in ministry. Like, if you know anything about ministry, it's not always fun and games. Like, yeah, I get to work with my friends. I get to work in an awesome environment, but ministry has some weight. Like, it's not always easy. And I really prayed about that and just felt just that peace, that inner peace of, this is what I have called you to do in this season. I remember the Holy Spirit bringing to my mind that verse in John 15 where it talks about, I've called you to bear fruit and fruit that will last. And really felt like that was the verse God spoke to me in that season, is I want you to do this so you can help this church, this community, build something that will last beyond you, beyond this generation. It will last for generations to come, and things can still exist and be healthy. And I want you to be a part of that process. And so going through those filters, it made me realize, okay, I can take this. I can take this job. But if I had gone through those things and I really felt, maybe I didn't feel that peace with that emotionally peace, I needed to realize, and this is what I want you guys to walk away with tonight. Some of us feel so obligated to say yes to things because we feel like if we don't say yes, then that thing's going to fall apart, or that person's not going to get helped, or that job need is going to, you know, go away, or my church isn't going to do what it's called to do, or whatever. And I can just tell you that if you determine that it's not the right thing for you to say yes to, that doesn't make you bad. That doesn't make you a failure. That doesn't make you inefficient. It just simply means that you weren't the right person for that assignment. And it means that God wants to use somebody else to fulfill that. You know, if I had come to that decision and realized, okay, this, I don't feel peace about taking this job, then that means he wanted to open that door for somebody else to come in and do my job. That would have been the right person. But if I had said yes to take this job and I didn't feel a peace about it, guess what would happen 6 months down the road when everything is just overwhelming me and my capacity isn't big enough to handle the job? Then not only do I become I feel the life being sucked out of me, but I'm sucking the life out of the organization that I'm a part of. So if you say yes to something out of obligation, not out of a true peace about that decision, it's going to come back around and take the life out of the entire thing. You tracking with me? Okay, last thought. I'm going to wrap up with this thought. Okay, so number one, I know that was a big, heady thought. Hopefully you took some pieces away from that. So number one, and how to find your best yes, check your approach. My last thought, number two, is fight the disease of busyness. A lot of us feel important when we're busy. And we like to stay busy because it just makes us feel good. Man, I'm doing stuff with my life. Like, I ain't got no time to be any place because this person wants my time and this person wants to meet with me and I got this job and this job. Okay, I'm not saying that it's wrong to be busy. But when we succumb to this disease, this need, this incessant just inability to not be busy, that's a problem. Okay? If you go to James chapter 1 real quick, I'm going to read this verse. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, for their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. It's such a convicting statement. If when we go to God for help, he's there for us, but we have to evaluate and make sure that our heart is not divided, that we're not so consumed with the things in our life, the things in the world, the things that are pulling our attention, that our heart becomes divided between that and what God is saying to us. See, busy oftentimes is not a reality. It's a state of mind. Okay? It's a state of mind. And being in that busy state of mind keeps us from hearing those small, sometimes really, really quiet daily promptings of God. I can't count how many times day in and day out I've been so consumed with my schedule. I felt so convicted of this week because I've been overwhelmed with this big event on Sunday night. I was so excited for it, but it's just a lot of work. And I've been just in my brain, all of these details and checklists and blah, blah, blah. And I know that I've missed opportunities this week to reach out to someone, to be the voice that God wanted to use in the moment to encourage someone. You know, I've missed those opportunities. And I don't want to live my life that way. I don't want us as UDYA, as this group of young adults, this community, to be the kind of people that we're so busy with the things on our mind or the decisions we have to make or the checklists we have that we miss out on the daily opportunities that God has for us to be a part of something so cool. Okay? And this is the bigger picture of this. Can I just tell you, it's those daily moments where we learn to hear God's voice and know what that sounds like and what that feels like when he's prompting us. It's that daily discipline that will allow us to hear his voice loud and clear when we really need to hear it. When we're facing a decision that we have no idea what to do and we need to hear from God. Some of us get frustrated and we stop talking to God because we're like, God, I don't feel your presence anymore. I don't hear you. Well, when was the last time that you actually shut everything else off away day in and day out to read his word and listen to his voice? This is his voice. This right here. It's so easy. I'm saying this with such conviction because I do this. And I'm owning this tonight. And if you don't walk away with anything else tonight, please walk away with the understanding that God does not want you to live in this disease of busyness, in this compulsion to busyness. This quote in this book that I've been reading talks about how busyness is kind of like a rush, and that rush can often make us rebellious. It can turn our hearts away from God without us even realizing it because we're so consumed with all of these other things. So how do you fight that? Intentionally build in margin in your day, okay? Every day, what is the 20-minute block of time or hour block of time or whatever that is that you have set aside to just shut things off and just be and just hear from God. Maybe it's reading your Bible or whatever that process looks like for you. Build margin into your day and into your week, okay? Proverbs 27:12 says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." Are we prudent? Do we see the danger of our tendencies, of our tendency towards busyness? And are we willing to take a step back and pause and saying, man, I need to slow down because I don't even know what God's voice sounds like anymore. I need to slow down and reevaluate, restructure some things so I can get back on track. Okay. Last scripture. And this is the last thought I want to leave you with tonight. If you would turn with me real quick to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. This is a story in the Bible. You know, if you've been in church for a little bit of time, you've probably heard lots of stupid stories about the Israelites in the Old Testament and all the dumb things that they did. And gosh, they were stupid. But they're a picture of us, so I'm that stupid. But Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18, I'm going to read this. You know, it's kind of the story of the Israelites and how they're just facing all of these battles around them. And a group of them have decided to, you know, we're going to go conquer this enemy by ourselves. And they rally all their troops together and their horses and chariots. Maybe they had chariots. I don't know. I like to pretend that they had chariots. But they rally all this together and they go fight these troops. And God is basically like, he's angry and he's yelling at them, fine, you want to ride off and go do this? You do it and you see how far you get. And then in verse 18, he's saying, there'll be nothing left of you. A flagpole on a hill with no flag. A signpost on a roadside with a sign torn off. I want to pause there for a second. How many times is that us? How many times do we rush off on our own thinking we have what it takes to go conquer this job or be in this relationship or make this decision? You fill in the blank for yourself. How often do we do that and we end up like a signpost on the side of the road with no sign on it? Just useless. A tool that exists, but it's just there. But I love the rest of this verse. It says, but God is not finished. He is waiting around to be gracious to you. He's gathering strength to show mercy to you because God takes the time to do everything right. Everything. Those who wait around for him are the lucky ones. God's not finished. If you're like me tonight, and I don't mean to make this feel heavy, but I just really felt this thought just on my heart for a long time for this group. And so if you're like me and you maybe are realizing tonight that you're in this perpetual state of busyness, that you feel just overwhelmed, you have an overwhelmed schedule, but at the end of the day, you realize that your soul is just craving for more. And where you're at and the way that you feel about things is just not right. Can I just tell you that God's not finished? And if you're in that place tonight, I just really want to encourage you with that God takes his time to do everything right. And maybe you're feeling like you're just in a spot where you don't hear God, or maybe you just haven't talked to God in a long time because you're just frustrated. But God is not done, okay? Let's not be the kind of people that are what they're describing in this verse, that a sign. I don't want to be a person that's a tool that's designed by God with nothing to say, with nothing to show for it. I don't want to be a signpost on the side of the road or flagpole on a hill with no flag on it. I want God's representation and the things that he has put in my life and the calling that he has put over me to reach out to the people around me. I want that to be an impact for people. Not for me, but so I can do the things that God has called me to do. Amen? Amen. I'm just going to pray and we'll be done tonight. God, I just thank you again for where each and every person is at tonight, God. And I pray these words over them, God, that you would help them understand that you have such great plans for them, God. And if they're in a place where they're feeling overwhelmed or they just don't know how to say no to things, God. God, I pray that you would bring them just awareness of their tendencies, God, and you would help them to navigate this process of choosing their best yes, God. Thank you so much for what you're doing in each one of us and where you're taking us, God. In your name, amen.